This is Lightning Power Lunch with Dave Mishkin and Greg Linnelli on Lightning Radio.
You just got to win next game. You know, take care of one game at a time and the swings of momentum and ebbs and flows of a series. So, you know, obviously it's a big hole, but we have done it before and we just got to win the next game.
Not the ideal situation being down 2-0, but like you said, we've been in this situation before, and for us that was here for that, we kind of have to relay that message to the other guys. And you know, it's never over until it's over, and that's the bottom line. It's game by game, and for us it's all about tomorrow, and don't look too far ahead, learn from what happened the last two games and just look forward.
I think for us it's just getting it behind us, having that close forecheck, always close together and moving pucks and trying to fight your way towards the net. And I think that's what's gonna help us, not only my line but everyone's line. I think just playing as a three-man unit all over the ice is gonna really benefit everyone on the ice, and that's what's kind of been working for us.
Unfortunately for us, you know, we're finding ourselves behind in both games, so it's a tough league to come back in, and especially in the playoffs. And so I think there's, you know, times during the game where, you know, I'm looking back like, wow, these guys are coming at us. And there's definitely times in the game where Paul's going, holy cow, how are we going to stop this? And so it's kind of been that kind of series.
Let me just make a comment right out of the gates. Down 0-2 is not good for the Lightning. That's stating the obvious. And I know you ask people about must-win games, and a lot of people will say, well, you know, as long as it's not the third, you know, the fourth game that they are going to lose, it's technically not a must-win game. I felt like last night was. I want to be transparent because I think not every team is equal when we talk about being down 0-2. And I think this is a different beast, and we're going to get into why that's the case. But I just want to come out and say that goaltending performance last night by both netminders was as impressive as you're going to see in a playoff setting. I mean, we'll get into Bobrovsky's incredible stop on Matt Dumba that was a defining moment, and we can give you all the adjectives there, but I thought Vasilevskiy was just, you know, the vintage Vasi. He was fantastic. It's a big time shame the Lightning weren't able to win that game considering how good he was in net. But this is where they are, down 0-2. They lose in overtime, and we'll get into that. But partner, and this is Power Lunch on Lightning Radio. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can at Bolts Radio on X, Dave Mishkin, Greg Linnelli, and Steve Ersnick. But that was an incredibly entertaining game from a goaltending perspective. I hope people were able to appreciate the greatness that we did see. It doesn't happen all the time. And the flip side of that is that's a tough one to swallow, I think, if you're the Lightning, considering how well your goaltender played and the stakes that are with a game like that being down 0-2 to the Florida Panthers. But those are just some general comments. I wanted to get out there from the start because I know a lot of people have some other questions that we're going to get into that deal with some other things.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with your overall take, Greg, that the Florida Panthers are an excellent team, and they have been spotted a 2-0 lead in the series. So now the Lightning not only have to win four of the next five, they have to do it against a team that it's hard to fathom the Panthers losing four of the next five. But they don't play all four games or all five games at once. They play them one at a time. And if we break it down that way, and that was what Steven Stamkos was talking about after the game, in each of the first two games in the series, the Lightning could have won both of those games. So it's not like they've been run out of the building. They're facing a team that's far superior to them. Maybe we had the fan the other day saying, that fan, I don't know if it was a man or a woman, said the Lightning are the better team. I wouldn't go that far. But the Lightning have shown that the Panthers are not that much better than them. Like they have played them very close through six periods plus 3 minutes, but they've not been good enough, and they're going to have to find another level, I think, in game three. game three is either going to be won by the Panthers or it's going to be won by the Lightning. And if the Lightning win that game, we're looking at a different series. We are. 2-1 is way different than 3-0. Just like 1-1, to your point, would have looked very different than 2-0. But if you're going to ask me to look at game two, what we talked about after game one was the Lightning defended at a very high level and they would need to maintain that in game two and throughout the series. They did not. They did not play as well defensively in game two as they played in game one. Helping them greatly was the goalie. That's why we were talking about the performance that Vasilevsky gave them, because he was able to erase a high volume of scoring chances that the Lightning really can't afford to be giving up against this excellent opponent. But Vasilevsky, that's why you're saying they kind of squandered this performance from him. He was busier than Bobrovsky, although both goalies were fantastic and had to deal with scoring chances. Vasilevsky was the busier of the two. The Lightning did not defend as well as they did in game one, even though there were points in game one when it looked like they were having problems. Their biggest issue in game one, aside from the fact that the Panthers made the extra play, talking about the Verhaeghe power play goal in game one, that was really the difference in the game. Lightning's problem was they only had 19 shots on net and very few scoring chances. Last night, they generated a lot more scoring chances. But those scoring chances didn't happen in the first period. They only had 3 shots on net in the first period. And outside of the Anthony Duclair kind of partial breakaway chance in the final minute of the third, and that was a chance. There's no question that was a chance. But the Lightning only had 5 third period shots. So virtually all of their scoring chances in game two and virtually all of their scoring chances in this series came in the second period last night. So what I'm hearing from fans is, well, they just need to go and play like they did in the second period. And yeah, I'd like to see them generate those sorts of chances too. And it was really the first time in the series that the Panthers were having problems defending. They were giving up chances. And some of that, I think, can be tied to momentum. Lightning popped in a couple of quick goals to begin the second period. A 2-0 Florida lead became 2-2. I don't think you're overstating it when you talk about that Bobrovsky save on Dumba being a game changer, because I thought the Panthers got stronger after that point, even though the Lightning were still generating chances for the rest of the second period. But the problem that can come with you generating chances, this is something that Chris Cran and Eric Erlandson were asking John Cooper about. If you start to generate chances, we get sometimes into a little bit more of a wide open game, and it might mean that you are giving up chances as well. And that happened in the second period last night. What were people talking about at the end of the second period, Greg? They were talking about the save Bobrovsky made on Dumba, for sure. But beyond the fact that the Lightning turned a 2-0 deficit into 2-2, I can tell you what people were talking about in the press box in between periods 2 and 3 was, what an amazing goaltending display from both goalies. Well, the Lightning want to generate chances, but last night in the second period, while I think it was their best offensive period by a country mile in the series, they still, I think, gave up too many chances the other way. And so that's the problem that you face. If there's a way for the Lightning to really put the Panthers back on their heels and generate chances, while at the same time not allowing the Panthers to generate chances, that would be optimum. But the rest of the game was a fairly tight checking game, and particularly the third period looked a lot like what we saw in game one, which is both teams were concerned with checking tightly, limiting chances, which they did. So I don't really know where I come down on this. Like, I'm in agreement the Lightning need to find a way to generate more chances, but I don't think they want to get into run and gun with this team. And there was a little bit of that in the second period last night. Opportunities missed. That was the other theme last night. So the Lightning scored 2 goals in the second. They had a boatload of other chances in the second period. The Dumba chance at the top of the list. But Mitchell Chafee had a chance in the slot. That was a chance. Bobrovsky made a good save. How about the Sorelli breakaway where he goes to his backhand? It looks like he has an open net. Bobrovsky stuck out his left pad, made the save, and then held it out because there was a goal mouth scramble. the Duclair breakaway in the final minute of the third. If he scores there, what a series changer that would have been. But Bobrovsky made the save. And then probably the one that I'm going to put at the top of the list, Greg, although people might put the Dumba play at the top of the list, which is fine. I'm going to acknowledge that that was a very big save. Lightning had a four-minute power play at the beginning of the third. I mean, like, if we were to break down this series, and we did before the series began, one of the things we were talking about was the Panthers can't afford to put the Lightning on lots of power plays. And if the Lightning are going to have success in the series, maybe it'll be their power play, which is one of their strongest attributes, will need to come through for them. They had an opportunity to grab that game early in the third, just as the Panthers grabbed game one early in the third with a power play. They scored on it. Lightning squandered that four-minute power play. That was really big. And I'm sure I haven't really listened to what the Panthers are talking about, but I'm certain that one of the things on the Florida side that the Panthers are talking about was that four-minute kill that they got through to keep the game 2-2 early in the third. Lightning could have scored one. They could have scored two goals on that four-minute power play, and they didn't. And that was a very big key. I wasn't crazy about their overtime. There was an unforced icing in there, and then later there was a forced icing. They lose the ensuing faceoff. As they have to make two tough saves on Reinhardt, and then they get a change, and Stamkos comes out for a faceoff on a strong side in the D zone. He wins the draw. He wins the faceoff. The Lightning are in a position, two steps. Get the puck out, get the puck in deep. Twice they got the puck out, but both times they gave it right back to the Panthers. And the Panthers were, it was like a delayed offside. So they dumped it in, they tagged up. That's legal. You can do that. The first time the Lightning got the puck and got it out again. The second time, it was a hard rim. Went from, as I was watching the ice, far side boards behind the net around to the near side. It was such a hard rim that Emil Liljeberg, who's the left side defenseman for the Lightning, cannot get over to the boards in time to cut the puck off. And it reaches Tkachuk. So they're skating downhill. They're dumping it in, comes out. They dump it in, they tag up, they go for it. Hard rim around the boards. Tkachuk gets it, and it was a little bit of a, like, the stars aligned for the Panthers there. Tkachuk kind of gets it, but loses it, but it slides right to Lundell in the middle of the ice, and the Lightning had a defensive breakdown. But it wasn't like they were set. Like, everybody was moving, because from the point that the puck was dumped in, like, it was probably less than 5 seconds until the goal was scored. It was a very fast-developing play. But at the end of the day, the fact that the Panthers were able to kind of press, and they were able to make a play eventually after that second dump in on the tag up, and Verhaeghe was able to slip behind Chernak, and Lundell slides the puck. Like, Chernak's stick is there, but he can't get it. And Verhaeghe gets in a dangerous area. And look, he has been a money guy in the playoffs. He has been a money guy in overtime in the playoffs. The guy has 5 overtime winners in the playoffs in the last couple of years for the Florida Panthers, going back to 2022. I think 2022. I don't think he had any in 2021. Yeah, because they played in the first round. The only guy who scored in overtime in 2021 was Ryan Lomberg. The Lightning eliminated the Panthers. Starting in 2022, though, Carter Verhaeghe has produced 5 overtime game-winning goals for the Florida Panthers. And he had a great finish. Like, he outweighed Vasilevsky. He was almost out of room. Like, almost had no angle. And he was still able to finesse a backhand from the goal line extended into the net. So I kind of felt in overtime the Panthers grabbed it and the Lightning didn't. But that's the way it goes. Like, it's one play, right, when you get to overtime. To me, game two was a story of opportunities missed for the Lightning. And to this point, creating offense continues to be a problem for Tampa Bay, because they've played 6 full periods, and they've had one period in which the Panthers have looked a little vulnerable defensively. So the Lightning are going to have to figure that out. And getting their power play going would certainly help. I mean, yeah. I know they scored a power play goal in both of the games, but they had that game. served up for them. 4 minutes on the power play to start the third. You have a chance to grab this game and get a split. And they let it slip through their fingers, which is pretty disappointing. A
lot of things to unpack there, and I want to respond, and I want to get our audience to respond at Bolts Radio on X. If they want to get in the conversation, they can. You're right about the missed opportunities. Isn't it interesting that we were talking about the power play as a big deal in game one? And then in game two, they get that four-minute power play to start the third, and they really didn't do a heck of a lot with it. And I agree with you. I think that might have been a deflating moment, because the Lightning's power play is statistically, you could make a case, the very best in the league, and one where it's as good as any we've seen in the National Hockey League over the years. And to come up empty in that setting was disappointing. We also saw, you know, Anthony Duclair have an opportunity for a breakaway chance. Was at the end of the second, I think, right?
End of the third.
End of the third.
Yeah, final
to win it.
Of the third. Yeah,
to win it, and he came up short. Those are defining moments. You know, that I know it's not a slam dunk scoring on a breakaway, and maybe you could make that the case it was a partial breakaway because he had somebody draped on him a little bit, but still, Duclair's a very good offensive player with a chance to win the game on his stick. It didn't happen. There was Bobrovsky making a save. I actually thought on Bennett's goal, Dave, that made it 1-0. We can unpack that a bit, but nobody was mentioning the fact that I thought Max Crozier had an opportunity to play that puck better.
Yeah.
And if you watch that replay, the puck goes through him. And I don't think that puck had a lot on it, but it I don't know if it caught him off guard. He got a little bit of it, but that's one typically where you can at least play to the corner, get it out of the way. Instead, the Panthers control the play, and this is where Brandon Hagel runs into Tkachuk, who then knocks over Vasilevsky. By the way, if there is no contact, Vasi makes that save. Because if you watch the replay, it's not like Bennett was picking corners on that backhand shot. He just kind of flung it in because there was an open space. If Vasi stays on his feet, that's a save.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't necessarily have a problem with the call, because he was pushed. And I know it was harder to see, but you know, the NHL came out and they emailed all of us about, you know, the rule and
right,
what's the place. And I was okay with that. But there were some opportunities, some individual opportunities where the Lightning could have made a play and they didn't. And oftentimes in a playoff setting, that determines who's going to win and who's not in a setting like this.
Making big plays is a big key to winning a playoff game and winning a playoff series. And we don't need to look any farther than last year's Lightning Maple Leaf series. Cause I thought for the bulk of that series, games one and two were almost outlier games, like blowout wins for both teams. But after that, the Lightning, I thought for the bulk of games 3 through 6 carried play. But the Maple Leafs were the team repeatedly to make the big play. And that's why they won the series. I don't think that has been the case in this series. I think the games have been close, but I would give an advantage to the Panthers in both games 1 and 2. But even with that, Florida has been the team to make the big play. And there were a lot of big plays last night, many of which were made by the goalies, like erasing chances. But in terms of goals scored, the biggest play in game one was for Hagee's power play goal, which gave the Panthers the lead in the third. And the biggest play in game two was the Verhage overtime winner. So that is how the Panthers have been able to come out of the first two games with a 2-0 lead, holding serve on home ice. Does this mean the series is over? No. I will point out as well that losing Sam Bennett, and I didn't get really an update on what his status could be for game 3, that is not an insignificant loss for the Panthers. Now, Lundell filled in quite well and had the assist on the Verhage overtime winner.
He's not a Bennett, though. He's not Bennett.
He's not a Bennett. And when you're pulling Lundell off the third line, now all of a sudden, like, who's your third line center? Well, they were putting Kevin Stenlin, their fourth line center, often on the third line to fill in. So it affects your depth. Now, they have other forwards. If Bennett is unable to play in game three, for example, the Panthers will dip into their depth. But, again, we don't know his status for game three, game four, long-term, whatever. This is why the run to the Stanley Cup is such a grueling one. Because you're going to take your lumps along the way, and you're going to be without players along the way. It's inevitable. He's a pretty important player for them, and he was having a very good game. I mean, a goal and an assist. So let's see what happens on that front as we get ready for game three. Here's what I thought about the goalie interference penalty, or the goalie interference challenge. There was actually a goalie interference penalty later in the second period where Carter Verhaeghe took, I mean, Verhaeghe was the hero of game two, number one star. He took a horrendous penalty, horrendous, in the second period. He runs into Vasilevsky, completely could have avoided him, put the Lightning on the power play, and Stamkos scores to tie the game at two. No one's talking about it, though, because the Panthers won the game, and he scored the overtime winner. But as far as the Tkachuk contact on Vasilevsky, we've been over goalie interference numerous times on this program. That fell into that category of contact on the goalie in the crease, but the attacking player was pushed in by a player on the defending team, essentially. That's the rule. So the replay shows Hagel makes contact with Matthew Tkachuk. Tkachuk does make contact with Vasilevsky. Vasilevsky's in the crease, but because the contact was initiated essentially by Hagel, the goal was allowed to stand. When I first saw it, and I had really bad replays in the booth, I had no monitor. I basically had a television that was located behind me that was like over the air. So, I mean, it was basically on like a 15-second delay. So I'm doing the best I can to kind of see what's happening, right? First time I saw it, I thought Hagel definitely pushed Matthew Tkachuk into Vasilevsky. And I was a little surprised the Lightning challenged. They challenged. When I watched the overhead shot, though, it looked less flagrant. The push looked way less flagrant from the overhead camera. Did he make contact with Matthew Tkachuk? He did. I have to be honest, though, Greg. I've seen plays very similar to that wiped out. Like, the goal does not count. Because usually when the attacking player is pushed into the goalie, it really is like a forceful push. The overhead camera to me almost looked like Hagel nudged Tkachuk. And the point I made to Chris Cran, who came in for an interview after the first period, I said to Chris, and Chris agreed with me, if Hagel doesn't touch Matthew Tkachuk at all, I still think Tkachuk makes contact with Vasilevsky. In other words, to me, it did not look like Hagel was responsible for Tkachuk making contact with Vasilevsky. But because there was contact from Hagel on Matthew Tkachuk, the officials and Toronto felt it fell into that category of goal can be allowed to stand. That was how they decided to interpret the play. Watching it live, I would have agreed with them wholeheartedly. Watching the replay, I thought it was more of a coin toss, and I actually felt like the Lightning might win the challenge. I'm in the minority on this. Most people I've talked to have said, including you, said you thought it was the right call. To me, it was a little bit gray, but clearly I'm in the minority because the officials took very little time and they ruled it a goal. At the end of the day, the challenge didn't hurt the Lightning, though, because they killed off the penalty. Maybe from the standpoint that the Panthers were able to build up a little bit more momentum, because they got a two-minute power play right after that. But had the Lightning not challenged, it still would have been 1-0. They did challenge. They killed off the penalty. It stayed 1-0. So the challenge didn't really hurt them, but that was my feeling on it. So if the fans are wondering, like, should it have counted? Should it have been wiped out? I'm not surprised they allowed it to stand because there was contact, Hagel on Tkachuk. But I've seen little bumps like that not rise to the level of the defending player forced the contact, basically. But they saw it differently. So I'll just mention one other thing about the officiating. Both fan bases were probably not happy with the officiating last night for different reasons than in game one. I think in game one, they let most of the rough stuff, really all the rough stuff, go. And I personally didn't like the penalty called on Nick Paul that led to the Verhaeghe power play goal. We've been over that. Last night, we saw more penalties. I mean, the Lightning finished with six power plays. Two of those were overlapping. Panthers finished with four power plays. So there were 10 power plays between the teams. Although, like I said, there were two penalties committed by a team on the power play. So it wasn't really full power plays for both teams. They let a lot go, even with the penalties that they called. And I think they let a lot go more so in kind of the second half of the game. I mean, there was that one sequence when the Panthers had the puck in the Lightning's defensive zone in the final minute of the second period. I mean, there were at least two penalties taken by the Panthers. Verhaeghe basically jabs Radish in the back of the leg and knocks him down, which created a puck battle win for the Panthers. And then they clearly had six guys on the ice. Like, it goes back to the point, two guys jump over the boards and one of the Panthers that should have been going to the bench held the puck in. So that was an advantage for the Panthers because the extra guy, the guy who should have been going off the ice, is the guy who holds the puck in. They decided to let that go. But the Lightning got away with some stuff too in the third period, honestly. So look, that's playoff hockey. We can always pick apart this call or that call. At the end of the day, I'm not so concerned about the six power play chances because one of them lasted 4 seconds and the other was a short power play too. It was the 4 minute power play. That the one to me, that was the one. There was no question. Chernak was high stick. The officials got it right. He was cut. It was a double minor. They served it up for the Lightning right there. Their biggest strength this year offensively, power play. You're in a tie game early third, and they didn't get the job done. And hopefully, I mean, again, I've said the penalty kill generally is more important than the power play, but the power play could have really helped the Lightning last night. But beyond that, the officials called a lot, but they also let a lot go on both sides last night.
I grew up in Pittsburgh understanding that Frank Pietrangelo made one of the greatest saves in playoff history against the Devils. I think it was game six.
I remember that.
First round, right? 91 Stanley Cup playoffs.
Penguins needed a road win there too.
Yes. And so the stakes were extremely high. And Frank Pietrangelo at the time, Dave, I think was probably their third string goaltender. Bobrovsky is not that. But when he made the save, how he made the save, and when the save occurred, I know it was lucky. I get that. I'm meeting you more than halfway on it. But, Dave, that might have been one of the greatest saves I've ever seen.
Yep.
I mean, just – and the fact that, like, he had to turn around, right? I mean, back, flings out his arm.
It fueled his team, too. Like, if the Lightning do score there, now it's like we're down in Florida. We're down in this game. We were up 2-0. We're down in the game now. Lightning are surging. Look, had the Lightning gotten the goal there, the Panthers still might have come back and won the game. I mean, the save happened probably, what? It was in the second half of the second period, but maybe about 7 minutes left in the second period or so, maybe 10 minutes. I remember we went to a TV timeout right after that because I looked and watched the replay of it on that television that was behind me. So let's say the Panthers had about half a game left, if it's 3-2 to rally. But that would have been a huge swing for the Lightning. It's like, we finally got a lead here. And you're right. Like, so there was a lot of luck involved. He swung his arm around and the puck hit his arm, but he put himself in a position to make the miraculous save. And that's where he deserves all the credit in the world.
It when it happened and Dumba, I mean, let's face it, you got to score there.
You got to score.
I don't know how else to say it. I mean, it was a great save by him and you give him credit, but Dave, would you say 9 out of 10 times you're going to score?
Oh, more than 9 out of 10. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that people have talked about, and it's true, like, generally you want to lift the puck, right, when you have an open net, because goalies are so good down low. If he slides that along the ice, it's easily in the net. I mean, the only part of Bobrovsky that covered the net basically was the arm.
Yep.
And that's where the puck hit.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is that was one of those where you just kind of shake your head. And again, it plays on the theme of what the Lightning and Panthers got from their netminders that whole game.
But here's the thing. The Panthers generally don't give up chances like that. Last night in the second period was the first time the Panthers blinked defensively. And I don't know how much they're going to be blinking in this series. Like, it has been tough sledding for the Lightning to generate chances. It has been. This is a really good defensive team. And the Lightning, I wouldn't say they had them on the ropes. I mean, nothing like that. But the Panthers had some issues defensively in the second period. Momentum can make you do strange things when momentum is not at your back and it's in your face. And the Panthers started giving up great A's.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I saw Maurice's quote basically after the game. He's like, I was basically screaming expletives. And then I stopped because Bobrovsky made the save. So, like, first of all, Bobrovsky, he recovered, but he definitely was, like, fishing, right? Like, he was out of the net. But I think Paul Maurice was upset. Like, how is Matt Dumba so wide open there? Like, what the heck happened? The 2D were back covering. It was Stamkos and whoever the other forward was. I can't remember. But where's the F3? Like, where is another Florida Panther? There's nobody in the picture except Dumba. That is very rare for the Florida Panthers to have a breakdown like that. And for the Lightning not to be able to cash in on it, kind of goes with the theme of one team has made the big play, the one extra play in both games that has proved to be the margin of victory. But, you know, the Panthers can look at some of the opportunities they had, too, and Vasilevskiy erased those. I mean, Reinhardt and Barkov back-to-back, late second. Matthew Tkachuk appeared to have an open net. What a cross-ice pass from Verhaeghe. And Vasi got over and made the save. And then during that four-minute power play, the Lightning gave up a breakaway to Aaron Ekblad. Yeah. It was a cleaner breakaway than the one Duclair had. Vasi stopped that. So it was at both ends. But if you're the Lightning and you're saying, we've been down in the series in both games, we have not had a lead, and we had an opportunity to erase a 2-goal deficit and grab a lead in the second period and finally make this opposing team that has been so good defensively all year and so good defensively against us blink, and we didn't get rewarded. We didn't make the play. That was a big swing, or at least a big moment in the game.
That is correct. So, Lightning fans, what do you make of what you saw not only last night, but through the first two games at Bolts Radio? If you want to get involved in the conversation, you certainly can do just that. Let us take some questions.
I'm sure we have quite a few.
Do you think people are upset? Do you think people are angry? I don't know, but let's start from the top.
Are they discouraged or still optimistic is too strong of a word, but do you still have belief that the Lightning can come back and win the series? Or at the very least make it a series? Like, winning game three will go a long way into making this a series.
No doubt. Nikita says, aside from the inconsistent calls for both sides, the Bolts didn't do enough to make Florida uncomfortable. Oh, I like that word. We need some of our guys to step up. Third and fourth lines are invisible right now. Chernak looks injured.
Well, look, he packed a lot into that tweet. So I think Florida was uncomfortable in the second period. Is he talking about the power play, though? I mean, the Lightning did score in a power play in the second period, too.
Chernak was on for the overtime goal, correct?
Chernak was on for the overtime goal.
I had some people ask about why the defense pairing was different in that overtime.
Well,
it wasn't Liljeberg and Crozier, right?
Up. They were mixing things up all game, though.
They were.
I mean, they had 7D, so that factored in. Chernak played a lot, though. I'm going to see his final minutes. I felt he played a lot. They have him at 21-25. That feels low to me, but overtime didn't last very long.
Yeah. Let me go to some more questions while you...
Well, he had 31. So, like, in terms of the number of shifts he had,
yeah,
31 shifts. That's the most on the Lightning. So that just means that he jumped over the boards more often. But they leaned on him. Like, if he's battling something, and I don't know if he is or he isn't, it certainly didn't affect the coach's willingness to put him out on the ice.
No, and I think it's going to take a lot for him to come off the ice. Steven says, of all the good and bad coming out of that game, the greatest defenseman in the history of ice hockey, Max Crozier, looked fantastic in his debut. On a night where the defense wasn't as rock steady as they could have been, Crozier was definitely a highlight in his own zone.
Well, you pointed out he was out on the ice for the Bennett goal.
I didn't like his play on the Bennett goal, but that's, I mean, you can make a case that's me nitpicking.
So, you know,
I liked what he did collectively in that game, though.
You know what I noticed? And this is going to tell you a lot. Because his overall minute total was fairly low, 14 minutes and 21 seconds. I'm trying to see if there's another defenseman who played less than that. DeHaan only played 10:50. Where was Liljeberg? Liljeberg was at 16:39. Max Crozier was out on the ice in the final minute of the third period in a 2-2 game.
Yeah.
That tells you a lot.
Was he out there when Tkachuk got robbed? Was that him out there?
Well, the final minute of the third period, it was the Lightning who had the scoring chance.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That's right. That happened all in the second.
Yeah, the Tkachuk chance was on the other side of the ice, though.
That is true.
Verhaeghe was really dynamic last night.
Yeah, he's a good
player.
I mean,
he took the bad penalty.
Yeah.
But he had the overtime winner. He had numerous dangerous chances. What did he finish with in terms of shots? He had 6 shots.
Listen,
10 attempts.
I know there are some people who are like, why didn't the Lightning keep him? And look at the player he's turned into. I don't think anybody was going to acknowledge or admit that he's going to turn out to the type of player he's turned out to be right now. I mean, he's dynamic in many ways. He's got a really good shot.
I mean, look, hindsight's 20/20, and it's easy for me to go back and say, I really like this guy. But I remember in that 2019-2020 season thinking, Carter Verhaeghe's a player.
Yeah, he can play.
I was thinking I'd like to see him get more ice time.
As we often have said, different circumstances, but you know what? We talk about all of the Lightning's really good offensive players. They've had two really good ones that they couldn't keep in Marchessault and Verhaeghe.
Yeah.
And Dave, those are two top six forwards. Let that sink in.
But more than top six forwards. I mean, you're talking
first
about
liners.
Game breakers.
Yeah. I mean, think about that, though. Think about what I'm telling you. You know this, but sometimes you have to take a step back. I mean, Verhaeghe and Marchessault are borderline elite offensive players for Stanley Cup contending teams. Lightning had both of them.
I think I posed this question to you earlier in the season. I know I asked some people. I can't remember if I asked you, so maybe I shouldn't say I know I asked you, but I'm going to ask you now. Reinhardt's a UFA after this year. Verhaeghe's a UFA after next year. They're the same age.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Panthers are going to be able to keep both of them. Now, I understand they're up not at the same time, but it would figure that if they are going to lock up Reinhardt, they're going to have a very hard time keeping Verhaeghe. If they don't keep Reinhardt, it seems a great likelihood that they would re-sign Verhaeghe. So if you had to pick... And maybe Bill Zito has some other path that he's going to walk and maybe shed salary elsewhere. But based on where they are and what these guys are going to be getting in their next contracts, it seems to me that it's going to be difficult to keep both of them. So if you had your pick between Reinhardt and Verhaeghe, you can only keep one of them.
Verhaeghe.
You would keep Verhaeghe.
Yeah. I feel like Reinhardt's year is... While it's so dynamic, I feel like he's the type of guy that's a contract that hurts you. Because is he going to score how many goals did he score this year?
57. 27 on the power play.
Is he going to have another year like that, you think, at his age?
Well, he's not 36. That's the point.
No, but he's not 32. Yeah, he's 30. I think this is a career year. And I'm willing to take that gamble. I think you have to in a salary cap world. And they may be wrong. If they choose to move away from – I just think if you sign Sam Reinhart based off of really what he did this year, I think those are the type of contracts that can get you in trouble.
Yeah.
So
he's already making pretty good – money too. I think he makes 6.5. He's going to get a raise for sure.
Mike says, I like a lot of players probably went to sleep thinking about the missed opportunity on the double minor. If they were playing a different team in the East, I think they'd be coming home with a split. Have to find a way to have more sustained offensive pressure. I think that's a fair point.
Yeah. I mean, game two was different than game one in some ways. It was similar to game one in some ways. Like, the third period looked like what we saw a lot of in game one.
Yeah.
But we had way more scoring chances in game two for both teams. And I still maintain, I'm not sure the Lightning want to have to lean on Vasilevsky as much.
Moving forward. That's a recipe for disaster.
So if they are going to mind their P's and Q's defensively, how can they generate more chances? Because I thought they were minding their defensive game in the third period, but it led to very little happening offensively for them. And if their power play is not going to come through, then how are they going to generate chances?
We thought the Lightning were going to push back in game two, and they did offensively. I don't think they were as efficient offensively, though, with those chances, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think that was the part that was a little disappointing. But the other team often has something to do or say about that. And in this instance, Dave, it was Sergei Bobrovsky.
Right.
That shocked me a little bit. But he played really well.
In the second period especially. Because I think, just as I said, the Lightning have had one really dynamic period of the six. They've had one dynamic period because the Panthers have had five really good defensive periods, essentially. I mean, they've given up an odd goal here or there. I mean, they gave up two in the second period. So in the other five periods, the Panthers have given up one 5-on-5 goal and a 6-on-4 power play goal with the net empty for the Lightning. That's been it in those five periods, and the Lightning have had a hard time generating chances. But when the Panthers had some defensive issues, then you were right. Bobrovsky stepped up. I was said on the air, I thought Bobrovsky was struggling actually early in the game. Like, he was facing, the Lightning didn't have a lot of shots, but there were a couple of attempts where it like looked like a routine save. He didn't need a lot of rebound. It was like bouncing off of him. There was that one in the first period. Two of the three shots the Lightning had came in the same sequence. When Radish took a shot, it looked like it was going to be a totally routine save for Bobrovsky, and he muffed it. Like, it hit him, and it dropped down in front, and Nick Paul had a second chance. He was tied up by Bennett, so he didn't get a lot on the second shot. I'm like, Bobrovsky, is he fighting the puck a little bit? Then he gives up the goal to point on the tip. There was another sequence later in the second period before the Stamkos goal where, like, he makes a save. It flutters up in the air. Like, he didn't control it, right? And so he was able to glove it before any damage could be done. And then Stamkos scores. From that point on, he locked it in. Like, he just – he elevated, honestly. I mean, yeah, he had the incredible save on Dumba, but he made other really tough saves that – like, the way he looked at the start of the game, it looked like he was almost fighting the puck a little bit. But maybe he got into a groove because the Lightning were shooting more.
The save he made on Cirelli as well was very impactful.
Yeah. That was one where if Cirelli can lift it,
it's a goal.
In. Yeah.
And he really stretched that. I think he got it with a skate.
Yeah.
That was a power move from Cirelli. Because that happened, I mean, there was like a minute 22 left when that attempt transpired.
In the second period. Yeah.
Yeah, in the second period. That was a big, big moment. Chris says, second period last night was awesome. If the Bolts can sustain that intensity for the rest of the series, I believe they will come back and win. Also need Kucherov to get back to normal. He seems very shaky. They haven't given him much room. Need to make adjustments and get him going. What do you make of that?
Well, let me take his point about the second period first. Did the Lightning look good offensively in the second period? Yes. Did they have problems defensively, though, in the second period? Yes, they did. So what I want to see is them try and find the balance between creating a little bit more than what they've done in the periods other than the second and not get into fire wagon hockey. And maybe I'm not remembering it well enough. Maybe the Panthers simply surged after the Bobrovsky save on Dumba. And that had as much to do with it as anything else. But, like, there's a reason why we were singing Vasilevskiy's praises after the second period, because the Panthers were getting some unreal chances themselves. So I think fans are like, the Lightning haven't looked like the Lightning. They're a high-scoring team, and they've been suffocated. Yeah. Finally, in the second period, they have chances.
Right.
But at what cost? Right? So I think the Lightning just have to – they have to find another gear. I don't disagree with the fan about – like the intensity level, making the Panthers a little bit more uncomfortable. I think that the Lightning can do that. But at the risk of repeating myself, I think that that has to come not at the expense of what you were giving up at the other end. Kucherov has fought it this series. He's gotten a couple of assists on the two power play goals.
He hasn't been dominant, as
he has not been dominant. And like on that 4-minute power play, he had a couple of one-timers. They missed the net.
Yep.
So, look, they're going to need him. I mean, plain and simple. They're going to need him to be a difference maker. He has not been a difference maker so far in the series.
Nope.
Point, on the other hand, I think he's playing his rear end off.
Yeah.
Point has given the Panthers some moments of anxiety, I think, with his speed.
Heart palpitations.
Maybe not that far, but
no, I want to go that far.
You want to go that far.
Anthony says, "I hated that Dumba shot so much. Do you even see the goalie? Just a lazy play. He could have pulled it to the forehand and still scored. Most of the plays die when Radish touches the puck. Useless rims and shots with no traffic. Also, no adjustments on the power play and not using timeout as always."
Well, that was a very sour tweet, wasn't it? So, like, I'll say this in Dumba's defense. If you hesitate, like he pulls it from his backhand to his forehand, maybe Bobrovsky gets back in position, too. I mean, we have the benefit of the replay that we can watch over and over and over again. He tries to get the shot off quickly while Bobrovsky's out of position. I'll say it. It was a lucky save. Like, I'm not sure that it's on Dumba. It was a confluence of Bobrovsky basically throwing a Hail Mary, and the Hail Mary got completed, right?
Knock it down.
Yeah, I mean, he flings his arm out there and happens to be in a position to have the puck hit it. Credit to him that he did that. But if the puck goes anywhere else,
Did anybody ask Dumba afterwards? I'd be curious.
No, because they only make certain players available.
I mean, I'm sure he's probably thinking, I have to score. I mean, that's just, you know, look, great save, but I got to score.
The fan had a lot of other sour elements.
Yeah, he's talking about Radish.
Yeah, see, I think Radish has been fine in the series.
Anthony,
I think
also
Radish
said,
and Hedman have been fine in the series, honestly.
Anthony also went on to say, "I thought we started to stretch them out in the second and third. F3 should play lower and F4 on top of him, more of north-south play. No energy in OT, same as last year, playing scared to lose. Kuch is a big problem. He needs to support breakout more and stop missing the net constantly."
Well, he did miss the net on the 4-minute power play. The fan is right about that. Did he say F4?
Yeah.
You only have three forwards, so I'm not quite sure what he was trying to say there. I didn't think the Lightning stretched the Panthers out in the third period. I thought the third period was what they call a low event period. It was hard fought. Like, there were a lot of battles being waged, but there were not as many chances other than Ekblad shorthanded and Duclair at the end of the game, end of the third period. Other than that, unless my memory is failing me, I don't recall that there were a lot of dangerous opportunities, unlike the second period.
I think that is fair. Hockey Girls says, "Greg, as a Syracuse native, I love seeing their success. I actually felt like Crozier and Lilleberg played very well together. I felt like I saw more of a spark from Lilly, like when he first came up. So why the change when in overtime, Lilleberg Chernak was not great? They seemed to not pair well together. Also, Kucherov seemed off. I'm hoping the return to home ice will help.
See, I'm not sure that they kept to the D pairs like in lockstep. I mean, DeHaan got over 10 minutes, and he had a little bit of penalty kill time on there too. But when you have seven defensemen, different guys are going to play with – like you're going to play with different partners. You are. Now, the Chernak-Lilleberg was off a D-zone faceoff. So they had a chance, and it wasn't after an icing. So they had a chance to set the line, and they sent out Cirelli, Hagel, and Stamkos. Stamkos took the faceoff. I mentioned Chernak played a lot. Chernak played with a bunch of different partners. I mean, he had some time with Dumba. Dumba only played 9:51. I missed that. So of all the defensemen, Dumba played the least. Dumba was supposed to be, based on how they ran the D pairs, Chernak's partner. So if for whatever reason you were limiting Dumba's ice time and you were not limiting Chernak's ice time, then you're going to have different guys play with Chernak. That's how I would explain it. It wasn't that they wanted to pull Crozier away from Lilleberg. I think it was that, for whatever reason, they were limiting Dumba's ice time, because that is not a lot for three full periods and 3 minutes of overtime. I'd have to look at the shift chart and see where his shifts came and if there was like a long gap in there. But that's how I would explain it.
Makes sense. Jay says, can't expect to win many playoff games only scoring two goals. Dumba opened a chance, 4 minute power play squandered, Kucherov and Point looking underwhelming 5-on-5, and depth players not rising to the occasion really hurt. Feels bleak, to be honest.
So I understand the feels bleak part. I mean, losing the first two in a series is very difficult to absorb and then feel positive, you know, about a team's prospects. I thought Braden Point had a pretty dynamic, I shouldn't say dynamic. He was more dynamic than Kucherov last night. And I'm going to maintain that. He scored a goal, that he was using his speed. He needs to keep doing that. But I think the Lightning do need more from their top guys. What else did he have in the tweet?
Depth players not rising to the occasion really hurt as well. And he mentioned only scoring two goals.
Yeah, that, I disagree with that. See, I think you can win a playoff game 2-1. We've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at some of the Lightning's closeout wins on their way to the Stanley Cup. So only scoring two goals isn't going to cut it. I disagree. In a playoff game, I disagree with that statement.
It'd the only nice flip side of that
more
is
more than two. You have to defend, right?
I'm going to play devil's advocate, though. I don't think this Lightning team is the same as the ones that used to do that, though, either. And I'm not saying they can't win the 2-1.
Right.
I'm simply saying, look, we've been consistent. I know I have more than you for reasons where I'm a little more – I can be a little more harsh on the team, I think, and maybe unfairly, maybe fairly. I don't know. But I've said I don't think they're as deep as those teams. And that's a product of the salary cap. That's a product of the trades and trying to win for it. Three or four years ago, a couple of years ago, I think they absolutely could win those games 2-1. I'm not sure they're built that way now. I do think there are lapses defensively. And I think they tried to shore that up with Dumba at the trade deadline. They brought up Crozier and Lilleberg. Look, there's a reason they brought those guys up. Not only can they play, but I think they're also looking for, you know, some stability, a little bit more. Sergachev not being in the lineup, even though he was inconsistent, hurts. So you understand that. That's a big part of what they do. But, you know, keep it all in perspective, I think, a little bit. I think the Lightning generated enough chances offensively last night. They didn't score. And I think, look, this team, I have said, been pretty consistent. I think they've had to rely on their top six more this year than they've had in previous years. And that's okay. Because not every year you're going to have four lines that you feel like can go up and down and produce, even though they've gotten some really good production from their fourth line this year. But I think, you know, Kucherov and Point have to drive the ship a bit more this year. And if they're not going to score goals, in the playoffs, at least the first two games, I don't think it should be a surprise in part that the Lightning are down 0-2.
Right.
And I think that's a fair comment. Noel Time says, Greg, please discuss how the Lightning are now Carter Verhaeghe's you-know-what on Lightning Lunch today. Maybe Julian Breezewalk can give an interview and discuss how much better Janot is than Carter.
Boy, we've got some salty fans, don't we? Well, Carter Verhaeghe, when the Lightning elected not to qualify him, was a restricted free agent with arbitration rights. So if you qualify a player who then files for arbitration, the arbiter, and you don't work out a deal before the hearing, the arbitrator decides here's the number, and the team can either accept the number or walk away. If the Lightning had to do it again, I think they felt that Verhaeghe was going to earn an amount that they were unable to pay.
That's fair.
Based on where they were in 2020, heading into the next season after they won their 2020 Cup. If they had to do it over again, would they just qualify him and see, run out the ground ball?
Yeah.
And see where he is and what the dollar amount looks like.
Perhaps.
And then you walk away, and maybe then, because the Panthers gobble him up right away. Maybe he doesn't go to Florida. Maybe he goes somewhere else. But if you are holding out to leave room for Carter Verhaeghe, then maybe you were missing out on some, it wasn't July 1, but whatever the first day of free agency was, that you can supplement your roster. So look, I mean, I think if Julian is asked the question, he'll probably give an honest answer as to why they made that decision. I will say it is pretty unusual, though, for a team that holds some control. I mean, a restricted free agent usually doesn't have a lot of say-so. When you have arbitration rights, you have a little bit more say-so. But the team basically still holds most of the cards. It's rare for a team to just walk away before, unless they're ready to just move on for the player. But I don't think that was the case with Verhaeghe. I mean, Verhaeghe was basically the 13th forward on the 2020 Stanley Cup champion Lightning. He was the next forward coming in whenever the Lightning had an injury or, you know, they wanted to make a lineup change. So it wasn't that they felt that he couldn't help them. I think there were other factors at play that had to do with the flat cap and what kind of money they thought they would need to get him re-signed. So they decided to cut bait on the earlier side of things, and the Panthers gobbled him up. But as we said earlier in the show, hindsight's 20/20. The Janot situation, I was actually a little surprised he was scratched. But we had a fan ask about him relating to that fight he had with Reeves. I don't know. I mean, look, I think he was cleared to play, and he played the last game of the regular season. He did. Might have played the last two. I can look that up. But he played game one, and, you know, there was a reason why the Lightning elected to go 11-7. It may have been less about Janot and more about, look, we got two young defensemen in the lineup. We want to spread the minutes. Turned out the guy who played the least is, you know, the guy that they brought in at the deadline. But also maybe they wanted to find a way to double shift some of their forwards. And that's why Janot was scratched. We'll see what the lineup looks like for game three.
We'll do it again tomorrow. Break it all down. We'll get some more of your questions. Hit us up on Twitter at Bolts Radio Partner. Great job as always.
You too. Talk to you tomorrow.
Hopefully the Lightning will be able to get a W. We'll see how it plays out. Thanks to all who listened. We always appreciate you. And thanks to Steve Versnick. I'm Greg Linnell. You've been listening to Power Lunch right here on Lightning Radio.